Mishnah Gimel, the halacha is that an item of food can only become tomei if it has previously become wet. That is known as hechshel kabel tumah, when it becomes fit to be able to become tomei. Another halacha which we need to know before learning the Mishnah is that midrabbanon, if a liquid touches something which is tomei, even if the tomei item is, let's say, a sheni l'tumah, if the liquid touches a sheni l'tumah, midrabbanon, the liquid becomes a rishon l'tumah. It goes up a degree. In general, something which touches a sheni l'tumah becomes a shlishi l'tumah. However, midrabbanon, if a liquid touches a sheni l'tumah, then it actually becomes a rishon l'tumah. We're not going to go into the reason for now, but this can have very large ramifications. We already learnt that stam yodayim, that one's hands are generally considered to be a sheni l'tumah midrabbanon, which means that if one, without washing his hands, if one touches a liquid, that liquid would automatically become a rishon l'tumah. And if you think about it, that means that if anybody touches chulin food, even regular unsanctified food, if that food is wet, so by you touching it, you make the liquid which is on the food become a rishon l'tumah, because your hands are a sheni l'tumah, and once the liquid on the food becomes a rishon l'tumah, it makes the food itself a sheni l'tumah. And because of that, if somebody is eating truma, and let's say he has not washed his hands, so in general, if you eat truma yourself, and you pick up the food yourself, you need to wash your hands before doing so. But let's say somebody else is feeding him, so his hands are still considered to be stam yodayim, they are considered to be sheni l'tumah, and somebody else is feeding him the truma. Somebody else puts it into his mouth. So let's say that right now he's got some truma in his mouth, and he hasn't touched it at all. It is forbidden for him to then take some wet chulin food and put it into his mouth whilst he is eating the truma. Why? Because as we explained, his sheni l'tumah hands will make the liquid which is on the chulin food a rishon l'tumah, which will then make the chulin food itself a sheni l'tumah, such that if he puts the chulin into his mouth, the sheni l'tumah will make the truma a shlishi l'tumah, because truma can become a shlishi l'tumah, a third degree removed. However, the Mishnah says that oichlin neguvim biyodayim service. One is allowed to eat dry chulin food, even with his hands, which are considered to be tomei as stam yodayim, but truma, whilst he has truma in his mouth. Avaloi bakledesh, but not when it comes to karbonos, meaning if he has korban meat inside of his mouth, then it's forbidden even to eat dry chulin food, even though the chulin food will remain tohar as he puts it into his mouth. There is a totally separate concern that as he is eating, he might put his hand, his fingers, into his mouth. Now his fingers, his hand, is considered a sheni l'tumah. As soon as he puts his hand inside of his mouth and touches the korban meat, so the korban meat will become a shlishi l'tumah, and so it will emerge that he has now made korban meat tomei, and he is eating tomei korban meat. Now this concern exists even when he's eating truma as well, because truma can also become a shlishi l'tumah. However, once again, this is one of the stringencies of korbanos, that we are concerned about this only with regards to korbanos, even though the concern technically does exist, even for truma. Alright, now the final, the 11th stringency of korbanos over truma is ha'oinein. A oinein is somebody whose immediate relative has passed away, and so on that same day, or at least until the person is buried, the relative is considered to be an oinein, and he is exempt from performing most mitzvahs. And one of the laws of an oinein is that he is forbidden to eat korbanos. However, he is allowed to eat truma. Alright, umechusa kippurim. Umechusa kippurim refers to somebody who was tomei, and he has already been to the mikveh, and he has waited until nightfall. So technically he is now considered to be pure, and he can already eat truma again. However, he needs to bring a korban the next day. For example, somebody who had tzara'as, so he was tomei for 7 days. On the seventh day, he went to the mikveh. When it reaches nightfall, he is now pure, but he is still forbidden to eat korbanos until he brings his korban the next day. Says the Mishnah, once he has brought the korban, and once the oinein stops being an oinein, his relative has been buried already, tzirichin tevila lakodesh, they both need to go to the mikveh before eating other korbanos. And this is even in the case of the Mechusa Kippurim, who has already been to the mikveh. And the reason for this is because midrabbanon, anybody who until now was forbidden, he went through a period where he was forbidden to eat korbanos, and now he is permitted to eat korbanos. Before doing so, he needs to go to the mikveh. avaloda truma, but not for truma, since anyway, as soon as he became pure, he was able to eat truma, and so there's no reason to require him to go to the mikveh again, midrabanan. So that is the conclusion of the 11 stringencies of korbanos over truma.